Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity once again to get together and to study your word. Help us now as we do that. We can build our faith and trust in you and in your word. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word evangelism, if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 10. And here we see where the apostles are sent out. And the main message is being delivered directly to the children of Israel, not to the Gentiles at this time. Now we know the Great Commission follows, and he sends them out to everyone, as well as all of us that become born-again Christians. We all have the assignment to go out and preach and teach the gospel to anyone and everyone that we encounter. And we can do that through living a good, God-glorifying life, sharing the experiences that we have had, witnessing about the blessings and the grace of the Lord upon us and how our lives have changed once he came in to indwell us and saved our souls and brought us back to life spiritually. We can share that, and then we also become evangelists in that. So let's look here at that time where the Lord sent out the apostles to the children of Israel in Matthew chapter 10, as it reads. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, the Lord gave them power to do this. We got to always acknowledge and know that all of our abilities come directly from the Lord. It's not of our own. He gives us a special ability. Always give him credit, recognition for that. As it continues, he names them. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Specific task at that time to go to them. Because as it was prophesied, that the message and salvation would come to the Jews first, then to the Gentiles. Gentiles. Therefore, this is what it's speaking of. It reads, And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. This last verse here, verse 14, about shaking the dust off your feet, helps us understand that there will be some of those out there that will not receive you, that will not want to hear what you have to say. You have done what you're supposed to. You made the attempt to reach them. They rejected it. They pushed you away. But actually, they're pushing Jesus Christ away. But we have done what we are supposed to do, that have gone out to evangelize, and you can shake the dust off your feet and say, I've done what I've needed to do. I'm going to lift you up and give you to the Lord. You don't have to be feeling guilty because they didn't receive you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house, or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Note, they will be held accountable for rejecting the word. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You got to be cunning. You got to be crafty like a serpent, but harmless. You don't want to do it in a way that you're hurting someone. You got to do it in a way that you're effective, but not abusive. Verse 17. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. This is awesome, comforting words here to let us know that the Holy Ghost is going to be doing a work through us, allowing us to be a part of His work, actually. And when we get into a setting that we can't handle, we can take assurance knowing that the Lord can handle it. And by the power of the Holy Ghost that is within us, He'll give us even the very words that we need to speak. It's amazing when you really get into this and you go out and you're talking to folks and then they ask you questions or something comes up, a challenge or an obstacle, and suddenly information comes forward. What you need to say at that time comes forward, and you'll be surprised yourself at the information that you're able to share or the things you're able to say at the moment that you really need to say it right. Verse 21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. It's sad to say that this is still going on today, and a whole lot of it going on in some regions, such as if a Muslim gives their life over to the Lord, becomes a born-again Christian within a family, that family sometimes rejects that individual, even to the point of killing that individual because they've turned against their religion and turned to the true and living God. Verse 22, And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Hated of all men for my name's sake. Now, this wouldn't be very encouraging for someone who was looking at the possibility of becoming a Christian. It's like, yeah, that sounds real appealing. I'm going to be hated by everybody. But as you mature and grow, you understand what I said earlier is it's not truly you that they are hating. It is Jesus Christ that they are hating. It's the message that you are giving them that they hate. They are rejecting that, and that is not going to go well for them. But take comfort in knowing that the Lord's going to be with you right there through all of it. Verse 23, But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciples that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? He's talking about how much persecution that he has gone through and continues to go through, and it should be expected that us as disciples of his will be having such abuse and persecution as well. Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Everything is going to be looked at. This one verse right here is really profound, because it's letting us know that all the stuff that is done against you Christians out there that are in the field, and all of us that have shared the gospel in whatever manner, all of the persecutions, all of the false accusations, all of it is going to be looked at. It's all going to be judged. They're not going to get away with it. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. This is talking about himself. We need to truly fear the Lord. Fear him in the way of honor and respect, and also fear him in knowing that he has our life in his hand, the very breath that is within us, and that we are going to be held accountable for everything that we do and everything that we should have done that we didn't do. It's all going to be looked at. So he's the one we got to really look up to with the proper kind of fear. And we don't have to worry about being killed in the process of sharing the gospel, because they can't destroy your soul. They can't pull you away from the Lord. We're sealed in the hand of the Father, and no one can pull us out of that. If you're not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That is only Jesus Christ is capable of that. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. Let us know here that the Lord has power and authority over all life on the entire planet and is fully aware of everything. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. He's looking after the entire planet. He loves and cares for us. We are of great value to him. So take comfort in that. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. This is the critical part when it comes to evangelism. We need to, as he says, confess him before men. Proclaim him before men. Acknowledge him as Lord and Savior before others. That's what the process of baptism is, the first step in. When you become a born-again Christian and then you're baptized, that's your public confession to all those that are witnessing that baptismal ceremony that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then you go out and start sharing the experience. Verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. If you do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're lost and you're not part of the family. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Here he's telling us how there's going to be some division even within the family setting when someone gets saved, just like he spoke of there earlier in verse 21, how brother shall deliver up brother to death and father the child, and children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Reemphasizing that again here. But this extends it even further, that you must put your love for others in the proper place. You put your love for God first and utmost, above everyone else, including your family, including yourself. Otherwise, you have things out of order. As he says in verse 38 here concerning yourself, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. This is not talking about martyrdom. This is talking about how you get yourself out of the way. Your entire life needs to be centered on following the directions given to you by the Lord, submitting yourself completely over to the Lord, getting yourself out of the way, getting all your selfish desires out of the way, and as I say, submitting. Say, Lord, here I am. I am yours completely from head to toe. My whole hunk of clay in your hands, mold me into whatever you would have me to be. Then you have properly submitted. You love him totally, number one, and others, including yourself, down below that. And then you have things in the proper order and proper perspective. And when you do that and you fully submit yourself, he will give you the wisdom, he'll give you the understanding of his will, and he'll give you the peace of mind knowing you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, not just what you want to do. Verse 40, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Like we were talking about earlier, if they reject you, they're actually rejecting Jesus Christ. If they receive you, then they are receiving Jesus Christ. And if you're receiving Jesus Christ, you're receiving the Heavenly Father as well. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. 41 to 42 is speaking specifically of assisting and providing for the born again that are out there doing a work, the evangelists, the missionaries, the pastors, the preachers, the witnesses. You help someone, you encourage someone, you help support someone with substance, then you are sharing in the reward of all of that work. You support a good God-glorifying work, then you get to draw interest on what you have shared in support because of the work that's being done by that individual or group. Such as, you support a good God-glorifying church, all the work that's being done by that church, you get to share in the rewards that come to that church, or preacher, or pastor, or missionary, whoever, whatever it may be. So that's what he's talking about. We're just speaking of the individuals here that he lists, the prophet and the disciple, and the even calls one the little ones. That's the ones that are just out there handing out Bible tracts or just witnessing. You support them, help them with words of encouragement or substance. Then you become part of that ministry and you share in the rewards that come into that. And it's awesome that he has given us so much, that he has promised us so much. And then he piles on even more, more opportunities for us to receive rewards in so many different ways. Truly loving and caring for us. All right, now if you will, turn on over to Matthew chapter 13. And we see here part of the process, when you're out there sharing the gospel, some of the things that it can compared to is like sowing seeds. You're out there planting a garden or planting an entire field. As he gets into this in Matthew chapter 13. Same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and a whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Teaching them in parables, teaching them in earthly things that they would understand. Verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. But whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they shall see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. This is speaking of the resistance of some folks out there. They have plugged their ears and covered their eyes. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to understand it. But when you have a true burning desire to understand Jesus Christ, understand salvation, to understand His Word, then it is revealed to you by the power of the Holy Ghost. The blessed are your eyes, for ye see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, or quickly, or suddenly, with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulations or persecutions arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the stony ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30. In this we can understand, when we're out there, we are those that are sowing the seeds. We don't know exactly what's going to happen to those seeds. Some of them are going to be fruitful. Others are not going to be so fruitful. But we need to keep sowing the seeds, to keep at it, to continually sow those seeds, and know these differences here. Some are going to be just cast away and not even wanted to be growing, and others are going to be growing and multiplying. And it'll be awesome at judgment when the Lord goes back and looks at all the different things that we have worked and the effects of that work. Those seeds that we have sown, when He gives us those opportunities to sow those seeds, it's going to be awesome to see what has come of that. And over, how they have multiplied, even from family to family, even from generation to generation, even from areas all the way around the world, whatever effect it may have had, starting out small but growing and spreading and spreading. It would be amazing to see how much influence that we have had on the kingdom of God come judgment day. To be able to look back, it's like, well, I remember when I gave so-and-so a Bible tract. I didn't know that they would wind up becoming an evangelist themselves and then sharing that with someone else, and they shared it with someone else and someone else and someone else, and it's multiplying over and over and over. And you see, you started it by sowing one little seed, And then it grew and grew and spread. That's the beauty of being an evangelist. That's the beauty of being a part of the work of the Lord. When we can initiate something, be a part of a work of the Lord, and then see that grow and multiply. When we ourselves get the opportunity to see the results of our efforts in sowing these seeds, it's wondrous. But we don't always see that. It might come along later. It might come along quite a bit later before the fruits begin to show, before the effects of what we have done become evident. But know that it's all being taken into account. It's all being recorded. It's all being looked at. And someday when we have the opportunity to be judged, it's all going to be brought back up, all going to be looked at, and we'll be receiving more rewards and glory for what we have done out there in the fields, sowing those seeds. So keep sowing those seeds, and don't be upset or worried if you cannot yourself see the results of the sowing at this time, because the Lord is the one who's keeping track of it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for being the one that is in total control of all this, that is keeping the records of all of it that's going on. Help all of us be motivated to get out there to be a part of that work, to continue to sow those seeds every opportunity that we get, and to know that you're keeping track of it. We thank you oh so much. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank you.